All right, hey guys, welcome to the Touchline Podcast, episode 15. You've joined us for the Sabo Rio episode. Apparently, also the Kenny Cutler and Leighton O'Brien episodes, too, if you remember back in RSL lore for other people who've worn jersey number 15. I'm joined with Brett.
What's up?
And we got a another guest, Caleb.
That's me. Yes.
So, welcome, Caleb.
Thank you.
And so there's a got the threesome going on tonight for the podcast. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the Vancouver match that was last weekend, the first home loss we've had in a little while. And then we'll preview a little bit of the New England game for this weekend, maybe touch on Montreal's CONCACAF game. And depending on how the U23 game goes tonight, since it's happening right this second, we may touch on it if there's goals and whatnot. So, the Vancouver game. How about that? We had 1-0. I actually thought that we played pretty well. I mean, one of our better games this season. I mean, you can always do better, but I thought it was one of our better performances in the new formation this season. What do you guys think?
For me, it was a little bit frustrating. You know, I was at the game, and like Sabo had a couple of really good chances that he usually takes advantage of and didn't. And I don't know if that's just early season kind of getting back to it, or maybe something to come. I don't know. But I felt like in the attacking third, there wasn't a lot of... I don't feel like we had a lot of chances, but that's just me.
Yeah, you know, when it comes, I have to agree on a whole lot of that. Defensively, I think this team has figured out how to run that 4-3-3 from a defensive standpoint, but when it comes to attacking, they're still missing that link, and I still think it's Plata. As soon as Plata's there, the offense will start kicking and start going off, and so you just gotta wait.
Yeah, figuring out the 4-4-3 is something that's taken some time. You know, I watched Jordan Allen in this past game, and it seemed like he was dropping back quite a bit. You know, if you're designated up top to be a forward, and I don't know how Coach Kassar's running it, but you know, he kept coming back and coming back and coming back and wasn't up in the attacking third as much as I thought he should be. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's something Plata will bring when he's healthy, but we're still a couple months out from that.
Yeah, and I mean, when Plata gets back, it's not going to be like Plata's here, score 3 goals. We're going to also have to have that period where they're coming back into it, but we're only, 5-6 games into this? So, I mean, it's still a work in progress.
Yeah. And, I mean, starting from the defense and working forward is a good way to go. I'd rather, you know, we haven't given up a bunch of goals, and I'd rather be, you know, tying games and keeping a solid defensive effort instead of giving up 5 goals and losing but still having a good offensive performance or something like that.
I agree.
The last two games, you know, each game we've only had one shot on, the opposition's only had one shot on goal the whole game. So, I mean, unfortunately in this game that one shot was the goal. You know, but I think we have to be pretty pleased with our defensive effort, especially, you know, in Kansas City, only allowing them one, and then with all of Vancouver's attacking that, you know, they've been pretty successful this season so far. And, you know, only allowing them the one shot was pretty good. I don't think they were particularly dangerous otherwise, even on the times they didn't get shots. You know, I thought for the most part we did a really good job of kind of keeping them in check and not letting Maddox, you know, get out on the break against us. Olave did a great job, you know, body checking him out of bounds as much as he could. I do think, like, and obviously when we got around the goal box, that, you know, we had a little bit of trouble creating chances And like Caleb said, you know, Sabo had two or three. You know, he would normally at least make it more challenging for the keeper. But at least when we're in, you know, Vancouver's half, I thought that we had some pretty good passing and combinations, and it just didn't always work out like we wanted to. So.
Yeah, they're still figuring it out and shuffling guys up top, you know. As you know, and Javi went out and Schuler went out last second. Javi had a little knock, I guess, a hamstring or something like that. They kept him out, so you know they're still trying to put the pieces together and learn the new system. And it's not going to be any better this week with all the call-ups and injuries and red cards that RSL is dealing with right now.
I sent in my resume to Kassar to see if he needs, you know, someone to run around the field for an extra body.
I'm a goalie, so I'm no help. They've got that position on lock.
I played defense in high school, so we got this. I mean, it's only been like 6-7 years. We got this.
Yeah, I'm only good for endurance. I mean, I'll just play midfield and run around. I'm not technical, but I'll chase the ball for 90 minutes.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, you can stand back there and watch me run around, I guess, right? Get nutmegged over and over and over. So let's talk a little bit about the officiating. I know a lot of people were upset about it. One thing that I was really disappointed with, you know, RSL fans, is at the end of the game, there's still some people who decided that it's a good idea to throw things on the field. Don't do that. Don't throw stuff. I mean, streamers maybe, but don't throw bottles on the field. That's just stupid.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That just makes us look bad and makes, you know, the officials not like us. And, I mean,
and you've got a better chance. You might hit me if you don't make it all the way to the field.
That's right. I mean, the one that I saw right at the end of the game, it was coming from the east side. It almost hit Garcia. I mean, there wasn't a Vancouver guy anywhere close, and somebody throws a bottle and almost hits Garcia. It's like, you know, that Dallas player, was it last season or two seasons ago? Somebody chucked a beer bottle in Dallas from their beer garden area and hit him with a bottle and cut his head. It's like, don't throw stuff.
We've still got a ways to go throwing lit flares at goalies and knocking them out of games.
Yeah. If you're going to throw something, hit Usted in the head with a flare. That's fine. But the you know, all the things that led up to the fans being angry, let's talk about that. So Tybert had a challenge on Garcia in the first half. The 6th minute?
Yeah.
It's from behind. I thought it was a pretty nasty tackle when I was there, you know, watching it, and then watching the replay, it still didn't look that great. You know, as me, I'm not a ref at all, but I probably would have given it a yellow like he did. You could have given it a red, wouldn't have argued, but I thought it was worse than the Saucedo challenge.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the giant issue that RSL Nation is having is when Tybert was shown that yellow card, it's the exact same foul, the exact same style, the exact same way. The only difference between Bofo's and Tybert's is Bofo was actually going into the guy faceboard. Tybert's was kind of from behind, and it was right there in front of the RSL bench. You're going to have a guy, you know, a young player like that, and it happened right in front of him. He saw that. So when he came into the game, he was expecting that style of play to be played out, and the first moment he had a chance to be physical with these guys, he turns around and gets a red card, and it's that consistency. I don't think people really care about anymore to this point. You understand that the refs are going to be the refs. We got some good ones, and then we got some real crappy ones, but I think the part that fans are now taking issue with is there is no consistency across the board. What happens in the 6th minute doesn't carry over to, you know, the 96th minute.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's tough. I've reffed a few games here and there, and it's hard, obviously, and I empathize with them. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about the Well, it's only his 19th game reffing. But at some point, the guy's got to get some games. We've got to get some new refs in, and they've got to ref somewhere. And it's going to be, we're going to get at some of those games. We're going to get some of those refs. And while it's unfortunate and we're not getting some of the results and some of the consistency that players and coaches and fans want to see, you know, it's a learning curve. And as hard as it is to admit that, you know, we've got to kind of grow with them, you know, that's kind of what has to happen.
You know, I mean, so Ted Uncle, that was the name of the ref. You know, the way he handled the game, there was lots of things that was weird about how he called it, the way he played the advantage, you know, some of the inconsistencies with the calls. But, I mean, a lot of the ways that he handled it, I thought he actually did a pretty good job in, like, you know, managing some parts of the game. I mean, it's not like he's a hopeless cause, and like you're saying, Caleb, if he gets more games, I mean, he has the potential to, you know, learn and grow, and hopefully he'll learn from the RSL game. It just kind of sucks that, you know, like you say, somebody's got to be on, you know, giving him those growing pains.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's a tough one to be in the stands and watch happen. It was frustrating, you know. I wasn't able to see a replay of it or what happened. You just see the guy sent off and kind of questioning what was going on. You know, it's kind of the opposite side of the field for me. But
I don't know. I mean, Salcedo's challenge, it looked, I mean, he went in aggressive, but watching the replay, to me, it didn't look as dangerous as, I don't know if you watched the instant replay this week that Simon Borg does. But there were a couple challenges, like the one Chad Marshall had in the Sounders game. I mean, he about, you know, fractured the dude's leg, like femur, by where, you know, where his boot is, studs up, and he gets a yellow card. I mean, it's just Salcedo's tackle was not nearly as bad as lots and lots of tackles that you see, and it's just funny that he is the one that got penalized. So
yeah, it's unfortunate too, because I think when he came on, He added a good little spark. You know, he took some shots and wasn't afraid to attack guys and go after them. So it was sad for me, because he was coming in and making a difference on the offensive end.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we can all agree that, I mean, it sucks that the ref made that decision. It wasn't, in, you know, super insane, the decisions that he made. I mean, both of the red cards were plausible, wouldn't you agree?
Depends on what Olave was actually saying to earn that first yellow.
Well, assuming he had a yellow, I mean, whether or not he intended to take down Maddox or not, that type of tackle in that area, I mean, that plausibly will give you a yellow card, right?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming he had to say something to really kick off this ref, because I don't know if you guys saw it inside the stadium, but when Beckerman got his yellow card, he was pretty much standing there for the next 30 seconds after getting it, daring the ref to give him a red. So he must have been saying something bad.
And I think that's something that the refs are trying to crack down on as well. And, you know, they do take a lot of verbal abuse from the players and the fans. And, you know, I think they've been trying to enforce that respect of sorts on the players.
I mean, I definitely think players need to be better about that. I think it's good, especially when they all crowd around the ref and start berating him. I mean, for the most part, they're just doing the best they can. But, I don't know, sometimes you just don't agree with their decisions.
But on a positive note, I mean, look at Vasquez. I mean, he stepped in 15 minutes before the match was supposed to start, and I thought he played outstanding.
Yeah. I think Phillips did a great job as well. I really like him back there. Both him and Mansali, they're interchangeable, and both quality at this point. I think you kind of go either way, and you're going to get a nice attacking option from either guy, and also a solid defensive. But yeah, Vasquez did great, I think.
Any other thoughts on the Vancouver game, or can we put that bad memory behind us?
That I'm going to look at it the exact same way that Luke Mulholland looked at it, and there's your one home loss for the year.
Yeah, let's not have any more.
Yep.
So, I mean, people, RSL and stuff, they've thrown out the stats about how often, we've lost at home, and it's pretty uncommon. So let's just hope that we can kind of keep that home fortress mentality going forward.
Yeah. And as fans, it's not a bad. I think it's fine that we get frustrated when we lose or drop points at home. We want to see our team win. We want to see them score goals. We want to see a shutout. And when those things don't happen, as fans, we're paying to see the game. We want to see our team do the best they can. So no one wants to see their team lose at home.
Yeah, I agree. Just don't throw stuff. All right, so let's talk about this next week's game, where we're gonna field 9 players, I think. I'm just kidding.
Actually, if you paid attention, when we was down to 9 people, we kind of held onto possession and had a lot of attacks, honestly. So maybe we should go with 9.
Yeah, we can play the 2-3-3 formation. I think we should try that out maybe this weekend.
Yeah. You know, I thought we were gonna get an equalizer there at the end. I was ready to run onto the field and go head first into the gong on the other side of the field.
Yeah. Well, this week we got to travel out to Foxborough, play the Revs. I don't know. They played last week. What did? I'm trying to remember. Who did they play last week? They played. Crap. They played. Well, they had a bye last week.
Oh, they had a game.
They did?
Yeah.
Was I only looking at their home games? My bad.
They beat Philly.
Philadelphia 2-1.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They had the 2 goals at the end, right?
Yep.
That's right. So, New England, they have Lee Wynn, they have Jermaine Jones, our favorite diver, Charlie Davies. I swear that guy, if he dives one more time against us.
He's gonna. Just
I know what he is. It, man.
Just in honor of his previous dives, tribute.
My gosh. He'd be so much more likable if he'd stop doing that. I'm kind of cheering against his comeback just because of that. So, what are your guys' thoughts of New England? How do you think we're going to fare against them? We're going to be missing a whole bunch of players.
I'm honestly scared, dude. I mean, if you look at who they started, and then look at the fact they also have a guy like Atil Bunbury that can come off the bench in the 80th minute, and then our defense is as depleted as it is right now because of injuries and cards, I'm worried. I don't like it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that we'll probably have Raimondo in goal, right? And then Phillips, Beltran on the outside, and I would assume that Vasquez and Aaron Mond will probably get the start in center as the center backs.
Yeah, it'll be Mond's first game of the season, first minutes of the season, I think, so.
Yeah.
Army wonders if they go Kavita, though. Because Kavita has been playing for the Monarchs. He's been getting that in-game time. Mond really has no in-game time.
I think he played one game for the Monarchs, and then he's been on the bench a couple times.
Yeah, I mean,
for RSL.
I think Kavita, put it this way, if I was Jeff, I would probably be starting Kavita.
You always propose the lineup like I play FIFA, where I just take all of my youth guys and just always start them.
Yeah, why not?
just so that they can always get to the max potential.
That's what we got to do, man. It's how we do this.
That's right. Well, so ahead of them, it sounds like Morales is still kind of iffy with his groin, I think is what his issue was. So Gil should be back. I guess we'll see tonight if he goes 90 minutes against Mexico or not. Mm-hmm. But we'll probably have Beckerman, Mulholland, and Gil in the midfield. Garcia, Sabo, and then who are we going to put up as the third striker?
Sandoval.
Sandoval, because Allen's going to be gone, right?
Yep.
Allen is gone until... He'll be out for this game. He'll be back next week. It's Justin Glad and Bofo. We won't see him until probably May 2nd is when they'll show back up in Salt Lake. So you're looking at probably two games worth that we're not going to see him.
Yeah.
I guess who are other choices besides Sandoval?
Well, and if Javi's back and Javi's ready to go, then you can put Gil up top and play that Luke Beckerman and Javi in the middle.
Yeah, at that point, you might as well just go back to the 4-4-2 for a game just because you're going to – it's a more suitable position. I don't think Luis Gil playing up top, he's more prone to come back anyway and play in the midfield. You might as well just switch the formation or just tweak it for a game and see how it goes.
Yeah, I agree. That's like I was saying last week. The one time he did play up there, he kind of seemed to be tracking back a little too much, wanting to play in that midfield space. And so, I mean, hopefully you can play a Sabo Garcia and you get Jaime back.
Yeah, there's mention of him coming back.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. They said pretty much it's if he wants to play through the pain.
Not that he's scored any goals.
I don't know. I thought he's played really well, except for the goal scoring part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if he doesn't play, then our other options would be Sturzer or Pekka. Mm-hmm. If we don't want to play Sandoval as like a third striker, if we want to just play two strikers, then Sturzer or Pekka is going to get a start.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if you don't want to put all your forwards out on the field at one time. I mean, what if Sabo gets hurt or something happens and you need to bring a forward sub on? You know, you may want to have somebody that's ready to come on instead of all your guys out there.
Yep.
It'll be interesting. It seems like it's, in years past, it always seems like there's a few road games where, we trot out something, like one game I remember in Philly a couple years ago where we did a 4-5-1. You only played one striker and we played five midfielders and the game itself sucked. But, you just throw out other stuff because you don't have the players or you need to rest people. This might be one of those away games where they trot out a lineup and you're like, huh, how about that?
Who's that guy?
Yeah, wait. Is he on contract?
Yeah, you'll probably see, Sturzer get a full 90 minutes or something like that, and you'll either love every minute of it or hate it all.
Yeah. With New England having that turf, my guess is that Javi probably won't be back. So, they got a little bit of shuffling to do, and we got to figure a few things out.
I mean, it's almost too bad we can't give Sabo a break, but there's no other strikers, so... He's kind of got to play.
We need to get him on the board as well.
Yeah.
Javi's done most of the work for us this year.
Yeah, and when Plata gets back, Plata's going to take a huge burden away from him, and he can just go back to worrying about goal scoring instead of trying to set everything up. So.
I agree. It's
actually good for us to be tested this early because, I mean, June through July, Copa America is going to go on. We're more than likely going to see Plata gone for that. And then the Gold Cup in July, we'll have Olympic qualifying in October. And between now and the end of this season, we're just going to get tested left and right.
Yeah, we're going to have to be deep at this point just because, yeah, we've got so many. We've got Champions League, we've got Open Cup, and then the absences with the with our national team players, you know, Sabo, Plata, Beckerman, Raimondo, all be maybe Gil, all being gone for different periods of time throughout the summer on these tournaments. Mm. And then Vasquez would be gone for Guatemala. So Schuler's out 6 weeks at least. You know, so it's like we're looking at we've got to build some depth now because we're going to need it in the summertime and at the end of the season.
Yeah, the Monarch starters might have to play two games a week.
Well, I sat down and I wrote it, and for this coming game, we won't have Jordan Allen because he'll be in Austria. Justin Glad and Bofo will both be in Bosnia. Olave's on suspension. Schuler's injured. Plata's injured. Jaime's injured, but he could be back. Javi's injured, but he could be back. I mean, that's, if you wanted to get technical, that's pretty much, you know, a starting 11 right there.
Yeah.
All you need is a goalie.
Yeah.
Not fun, man. Not fun.
I haven't really watched much of the New England team this year. So, I mean, I know some of their players from last season, you know, where they made it to the Cup. But, you know, I can't speak much to how they have been playing or how I think they're going to play. I don't know if any of you guys have any thoughts, but all I know is that we don't have a lot of players. You know, we're definitely going to be testing our depth this week.
Yeah, they're in third place in the East, 3 wins, 2 losses, 2 ties. Looks like scored 6, given up 7.
You know, they played from behind most of that game against Philly, mm-hmm. until Bunbury came in and he kind of gave them that spark off the bench they were looking for and was able to, you know, get an assist and then end up getting the game-winning goal. But, you know, if we can actually get our offense somewhat clicking and somewhat going, Bobby Shuttleworth is actually a great opponent for to having goal because he's not going to win you games, but he's not going to lose you games. So he's kind of that guy that the offense can get going, we can kind of rattle him and possibly walk away with some points.
Yeah. New England's trending in the right direction their last 5 games. It looks like draw, win, win, draw, win. So mm-hmm. we're 11 points in 5 games. And with Jermaine Jones back off of his injury and recouped, you know, he's gonna add some depth, some experience to that team as well.
Yeah.
All right, so what's your prediction for the game then? We'll start with Brett. What do you say?
I'm not feeling it. I think we go down there and lose. The defense being depleted, it has me worried. I mean, I have complete faith in Vasquez, but depending on who we pair next to him, and with our offense kind of not clicking yet, I think 1-0 we're going to lose.
Yeah, I was feeling maybe a 2-1 loss. Yeah, you kind of almost hope for another 0-0 draw just to keep the streak alive.
0-0 would be a win in my book.
Yeah, I think if we come out of there with a point, we're gonna you have to be happy with that.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't want to say I hope for a 0-0 draw, but I think I'm gonna say that. So. Well, let's hope for a 0-0 draw. A dull, boring 0-0 draw. No, just kidding. Yeah. Let's hope for a point, but I'm with you, Brett. I'm not feeling it. I mean, if they come out of there with 3 points, then, you know, I think we'll all be a little shocked.
Yeah, and this is actually RSL, so the entire fan base is looking at this going, if we can tie, we're going to consider it a win. We'll probably go in there and trash them like 6-0 or something, just because that's how this team reacts.
We only beat them 6-0 if it's the 4th of July.
Well,
those are the good old days.
I hope they're coming back for the 4th of July then.
Now, who are we playing this year? It's someone else. We've been playing New England like for, 5 years in a row or something crazy, but we're playing someone else this year, and I was really disappointed.
Orlando.
Oh, it's Orlando.
And then Sporting KC on the 24th.
Oh, so
they're fireworks games.
Yeah. Didn't we play them last year on the 24th? Or not last year, 2 years ago? That was the crappy game when they had the 7 minutes of stoppage time.
Yeah.
I remember that, and then we had fireworks. Sucky.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, that was the game that had we not dropped those points, we would have hosted the final instead of going to Kansas City.
In 2013, we didn't play a July 24th game.
When?
23rd. There was a fireworks game.
Yeah. Do a
2013. It was July 20th.
Okay. But hey, July 24th, in 2014 we played Montreal and beat them 3-1.
Oh, anyway, yeah. Let's hope we can have good games on those firework games. Always makes the fireworks a lot happier.
Yeah.
So, now that we've talked about RSL a little bit, let's quickly touch on Montreal's Champions League run here. Tonight they played Club America. Spoiler alert, if you recorded it and are going to watch it later for some reason. They went to the Azteca and they drew 1-1, which was amazing. That's practically a win. They scored first. They scored pretty early, too. And then America scored near the end, 87th minute or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, Caleb, you said you watched it.
Yeah, I caught most of it.
What are your thoughts on Montreal's run?
I mean, good for them, I guess. It's hard for me to be excited for another team, even though, you know, it's like, oh, go MLS. You know, I'd rather have it be RSL that makes it, you know, but this is kind of a shadow of what happened, you know, to RSL in 2011, right? We go 1-1 down in Mexico and came back. And
yeah, we were tied 2-2.
2-2, yeah.
Come home and tie.
I was on a cruise ship in the Caribbean when the final was going on, and somehow we found a room and a TV, and it was on ESPN Caribbean, and me and three of my buddies were able to sit down and agonize over that game as it went on in the middle of the Caribbean. It was fairly memorable for reasons, but.
Yeah, I remember it because I travel like once a year for work, and it happened to be that week, and I was just crushed. And so anyway, I talked my work into letting me fly back early, so I flew. I got in at like 6:40 or something that night and drove straight from the airport to the stadium, got in there, and, you know, then we lost, and it sucked. But at least I got to go, I guess, right? So,
right.
So it was a great atmosphere. You know, it's a great game. Monterey just scored. That's all. So, you know, Montreal, I was kind of like you, Caleb. Before I watched the game tonight, I was pretty indifferent. You know, I would have rather had, you know, RSL for sure, you know, win it, obviously, and wasn't really behind the whole MLS for Montreal. But as soon as I started watching that game, I was all on board with Montreal. I'm like, I want Club America to lose so bad. So, you know, I'm all for Montreal winning as long as the Mexican team doesn't win.
Yeah. Kind of you're fighting between two things you don't really like.
Yeah, and Liga MX is way stronger dislike than Montreal, so
yeah.
Rapids over Club America.
I don't want to hate on them, but I hope they lose because I want to be there next year. Or two years from now. I want to be there. I want to be the one that actually wins it.
Well, yeah, we got our work cut out for us.
But, yeah. You know, looking over this results and everything like that, Club America was sitting in a 3-0 hole in the semifinals and went home and scored 6 goals. So this is a team that knows how to score. And all they need is one away goal to pretty much tie it up.
Yeah, I mean, they can win 1-0 or anything, a tie of anything more than 1-1, and they win.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, going to Montreal's place and playing is a little bit different than being down and then coming back home to the Azteca.
Yeah.
You know, Montreal's going to be sold out, and, you know, that crowd's going to be going crazy, and you know, Montreal have another game under their belt to get some fitness under, so, you know, hopefully they can figure out how to play some defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, I'm glad that the fans up there get to, you know, see a competitive game, that if they're not going up there down 3 goals or something like that, you know, it should make for a pretty awesome atmosphere.
Yeah. Well, how's the U23 game going?
It's halftime, 0-0.
All right. Gilbin playing okay? You noticed him at all?
It's hard to tell. It's like Unimas, and it's like low def, so it's hard to tell who's who. It's just
sure.
like playing old Nintendo on a giant screen. Little pixelated guys.
All right, well, you got anything else there, Brett?
Something kind of away from soccer, but have you guys been watching that on Twitter, that Push for the Precious, and seen what's been going on with it?
No. What is it?
Okay, there's a guy on Twitter that goes by at @urclassless, and he has I believe she's 4-year-old daughter that they found out had a brain tumor in. They started a GoFund for her, and in about 48 hours, it's raised about $9,000. And just how awesome it is that people can actually rally like that, and you see different, you know, fans and everything like that from different sports and teams coming together to support it, and how much as we love sports, at the end of the day, this is, you know, stuff like that's the stuff that matters. And so kind of just wanted to talk about how cool that was that people were doing that.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's pretty amazing, you know, people stepping up to help that. And we've seen that, you know, a lot of times when people have, especially from other teams or even in the RSL family, when they've needed help, people stepped up. So.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, anything else from you, Caleb?
I don't think so. I mean, we don't need to touch on the new women's national team home kits, black, white, and yellow, which makes no sense. But yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, that's really all I've got.
Yeah, it's been great. I hope those of you listening have enjoyed it or will enjoy it when you listen. I'm Rich. You can get me @_Frisbee_Rich.
And I'm Brett. You can get me @A24Brett and @Touchline_TBS.
And I'm Caleb @CalebReeve.
All right.
Pretty much everything.
And then, as always, you can just send something to Torn by Sports account. They'll usually send it to us.
Yeah, if you guys listen, if you guys have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you, get any feedback. You know, you guys can tell us how awesome we are or unawesome. We are. Hopefully it's the awesome part. And, yeah, I hope you guys have enjoyed the Sabo episode of the Touchline Podcast, and we will talk to you next week.